Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Call to Decision. I am not Butch. Butch is on vacation this week, and he wanted me to let you all know that he will be taking calls tomorrow in the office. So even though he's been kicking his feet up, taking a much-needed break, relaxing, hanging out with his better half, and he's going to be in the office tomorrow, so you can give him a call at the usual time and place, and just so that you know. And he's taking some time off. And Butch, if you're listening, I hope you're having a great time. My name is Kevin Gallagher, and I'm up here in Connecticut. I'm a Connecticut Yankee, and so don't tell Butch. And if you don't tell, I won't either. And I'm being joined by my lovely wife, Barb, and we have a really interesting show for you tonight. I'm also the CEO and founder of the Truth Be Told Radio Network. So Butch has had me do this a couple of times, enjoy doing it. And folks, if you're interested in health, if you're interested in gut health, which is real important, the more that I've learned about that over the years, the more important I see that it is. And so one thing that I can tell you is, with the lockdowns and everything that happened back in, 2020 and everything else, it's gotten to a point where, you get stir crazy, you're staring at those same four walls all the time. And I know with my wife, I'm not going to speak for her, but she got bored. She wanted to know about some things to do. And so she started looking at fermented foods. Now, fermented foods are things that, like sauerkraut. Everybody knows what sauerkraut is. That's a fermented food, believe it or not. And kombucha, and there's a few other items. We're gonna talk about some of those and making those. And also one thing that really isn't a fermented food, but is something that's essential, and that's bone broth. And this is where you can take the scraps that are left over that you're not going to be eating, where you've cut like a carrot up and it's the back stump and the stuff that you're not going to eat anyway. There's like the outer coating, the outer shell of the onion. There's actually a lot of nutrients in that stuff. And so you can be getting a second round of nutrients from stuff that you'd be throwing away anyway. And so we're going to be getting into some of that, and it just makes a heck of a lot of sense. Now, folks, like I said, I'm with the Truth Be Told Radio Network. You can hear us over smart speakers about 20 different ways. There's a bunch of different streams. We carry Butch's show along here with GS Radio. And with GS Radio and us, since we're carried on TuneIn, you can ask any smart speaker in the world to play either GS Radio or Truth Be Told Radio Network, and you're listening, which is great. I'm here with my wife, Barb. So, Barb, why don't you let people know a little bit about you and how you got involved? I did give everybody an idea about how we got involved in this, but let's let them hear it from your point of view, okay?
Hi, everyone. I'm glad to be here joining my husband. I thank you, Pastor Butch, for allowing us to have this opportunity. in your behalf. And I got interested in all of these fermented foods and things because my stomach was bothering me and my intestines. And so I was babysitting my grandchildren. So I figured, well, I'm just going to look into this and what I can do in order to make myself feel better. And so I started getting online. I started checking out different places like YouTube and also other people's websites that do cooking and checking these things out and then trying them out for myself to see if they work. And I know it can only help me. So I figured, well, I'll try it. And of course, a lot of this was new to Kevin. He's never heard of some of the things that I said I'm going to try doing. And so, I don't want to say I was experimenting, but, I was trying out these new things, out on him as well as seeing if it really worked for me. You know what? It does. It really works. So, tonight we decided this is what we'll talk about, fermented foods and how it's really good for prebiotics and probiotics. And we're not a medical doctor or anything like that, but
we're not giving medical advice.
And we're not doing that, like
you
said.
We're just talking about food.
And we're just going to talk about what our experiences and what we can, what we have done and what you can try yourself if you like. You know, if you're having any issues with your stomach, and how many know that a healthy gut is a healthy body?
Yeah.
And it starts our healing and everything starts in our gut. You know, if we're feeling good, then we feel like doing other things so there's a lot of a good nutritional value in these things that we're going to talk about this evening.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because, you know, with the lockdowns and all that, like my wife said, she was looking around for something to do. And these are things where we live in like a microwave society, and you want everything done yesterday. But with fermented foods, folks, you're going to wait a while. I mean, with, say, bone broth, which actually isn't a fermented food, but is something very nutritious that you can make, you're going to be putting that in a slow cooker if you're using a slow cooker for like 24 hours to pull all of the minerals and the nutrients out. Now, with kombucha, which I think we'll probably cover first, that is a fermented black tea, and it's been made for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and I had never heard of it. And so my wife was like, hey, I'm going to make kombucha. And I'm like, come what? And so she had to explain it to me, and that it's all made from black tea, and you let it sit. Now that it's getting into summertime, it's actually sitting in the big jar, big glass jar. So if you go out and you buy like the big dill pickle jars and you save that gallon jar, preferably glass, you want to save that after you eat all the pickles, and you can use that to make kombucha. And so that's going to sit in the summertime as it's been getting warmer here in Connecticut, about a week roughly. In the wintertime, we'd have that sit for up to a month and let it ferment. And boy, does it taste good. So Barb wanted to really get into tonight about how you actually go about making this stuff. So if you wanted to make this stuff, we can lay this out to you here on the broadcast. And if you got a pen and paper, just write it down. These things are not hard to make. Even I can do kombucha, and I'm not a chef. I'm not a cook. And I can make this stuff, and it's not that hard. So Barb, why don't you get a little bit into this?
Well, kombucha is, a fermented tea that started many, many years ago in China. And I even think Russia as well. And it has a SCOBY. You need to use a SCOBY.
What's a SCOBY?
A SCOBY is like a mushroom, round mushroom. Feels like a little rubbery thing that I don't even know.
It's a living thing.
It's a living organism, but it's an acronym for a symbiotic culture of bacterial yeast. And that's what it is. It's required to use one of those, and you can mail for them. You know, if somebody that's been making kombucha, you can even get one from them. But you have to use tea, regular organic tea, and the regular tea bags, and also organic sugar, and you know, you just like you bring that water to a boil. You use about 3 quarts of water, and you bring it to a boil, and you put the tea in. There's about 8 bags of tea. Tea bags. And
we've been using 10 bags.
Well, 10, whatever, 8 or 10, whatever. And you let it, when the water comes to a boil, you let it steep for about 10 minutes. And that's what you want to do. And then you take tea bags out. Then you add the cup of sugar
and
to it.
And you don't wring the bags out.
No. And then you stir the sugar to dissolve in the tea. It's just like making a cup of tea.
Like making sweet tea.
And I use a gallon jug. That's what I do. And then I let it cool because you don't want to put the SCOBY because it's a living organism. You don't want to, put that in there. When it's hot, you'll kill that, organism.
Kill it.
So you don't want that done. So, and also you take about 2 cups of reserved kombucha from a batch before. And sometimes people, they buy it like already kombucha in a bottle and they use some of that as mm-hmm. their starter, but you have to use that as a starter. You have to have 2 cups of that as far
keep
as,
some
also
always left
the,
over.
The SCOBY. And, so then you, when that tea is cool, then you add the 2 cups of starter, then the SCOBY, and then you put a cover on it, like maybe a cloth, like a dish towel, and elastic band, and you put it in a place that where it's not going to get sunlight hitting it, so you want to let it age. And it's good to, even children like it, but if you let it stay for about a week, it's still sweet, and the kids would like it then. But if you let it age a little bit longer, and you can let it age a little bit longer if you like, and it has like a fizz to it, and you have to acquire
taste. It gets a
natural
carbonation.
Yes, you have to acquire a taste for it, and it really tastes nice once you do. And it's good for your gut. It's good for, it's got a lot of probiotics in it, and it's very good for
now,
you.
Now, also, when you put all that sugar in there, if people are concerned about that, the SCOBY actually eats up the sugar, right?
Yes, and it eats the tea and the sugar. So if you're worried about the
–
yes, it does. So, I mean, that's what the SCOBY does. It eats the sugar and the tea, the tannins in the tea, and that's what it lives off of, And once you're finished with this, you find that you've got the taste that you like because it's an individual thing. And then you take the SCOBY out and you put it into another jar and you add 2 cups of that kombucha because you're saving that for the next time where you're going to make another batch, and you put that there together. Then you put in individual bottles if you want, or just leave in a jug or whatever, and that's it. It's not that hard to make.
No, but it tastes real good. Like you said, once you acquire the taste, it's like, it doesn't taste bad, but it's like when, if you're a coffee drinker, if you remember the first couple of times you drink coffee and you want to spit it out, like, oh, that's awful. And then after you've drank it a couple of times, it's like, this is so good. And kombucha for me was the same way, and it's got a really great taste, and it's something with a lot of flexibility. So for example, we saw recipes using 8 tea bags, but then by accident we used 10. But we found out that we actually like it better with 10 tea bags rather than the 8, because to me, speaking for myself, it came out with a smoother tea flavor than using the 8, and I like that. So, these are the things that you can do, and you can go on the web, you can look up, recipes for it, and you can go to, video sites, and you'll have people that'll walk you through step by step on how to make this stuff. And it's really good. Like I said, we've had it sit and ferment for anywhere from a week to 3 weeks or even up to a month. And it just depends even on the time of year, because the temperature in your home actually affects the fermentation process about how quickly or long
exactly,
it takes.
Exactly. Yes.
So in the winter, it's going to take longer to do the same thing that it's going to do in the summer.
That's right.
So what we're finding is we start a batch, it's probably going to be ready in about a week versus in the winter where it's going to be maybe 3 weeks. So we wanted to cover that. And also there is kefir, which I had never heard of. It's the champagne of milk, and kefir is a fermented milk, and I have found that I really, really like kefir. It's very good, and it's, again, takes time, but it's not hard to make. And so, Barb, why don't you explain to them a little bit about what kefir is and the process of making it?
Well, kefir requires what they call grains, and these grains, it's yeast. It's a form of yeast as well. And it's a living organism. And it looks like cauliflower.
Yeah.
And it multiplies very fast. So actually, you could take some of that after and you can give it away to your friends or.
It accumulates.
Yeah, it really does. It grows very fast. But what you do with kefir is you use whole milk and you take the whole milk, you put it in a jar. And I use a small jar, and then I put the kefir grains in there. And their grains are not like rice or anything like that. I'm not talking about something like that. This is almost like a
cauliflower.
Think when you look at a cauliflower, that's what this looks like, you know, yeah. Cauliflower. You know, it's a living organism. And, so you put the kefir grains in there and you cover the kefir grains, to about maybe a quart of milk or a pint of milk, whatever, how much you want to make. And then you cover that with a towel or paper towel and elastic band. Yeah. And you let it sit for 24 hours. Now, it doesn't spoil because
that's what I asked you. If you're leaving this out for a day, isn't the milk going to go bad?
No, it doesn't spoil because the kefir grains is eating the lactate, whatever there's in the milk, and it's and also the sugar. So even people that have lactose intolerance can even have this because it's not going to affect them because there's not that sugar that's in the milk that a lot of times people can't have milk because of the sugar that's in the lactose that's in the milk. But the kefir grains eats that and lives off of that. And so then you have this nice prebiotic drink. And it's almost like yogurt. It tastes a little bit like yogurt, except a little bit more loose. Mm-hmm. And you can add flavor to this fruit. And a lot of times what I do is I make a smoothie with it. So I'll take it and I'll put it in a blender and I'll take strawberries, blueberries, cut up bananas, and I'll blend them all together with a kefir, and it makes a nice smoothie and it tastes so good. And it's very healthy for you.
Yeah, and I remember when you got them, you sent away for the kefir grains, and they arrived in an envelope, and they're sealed up in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it going, what is this? And so that's what we used to start the whole thing off. And then, you know, you're using, you know, and hopefully you're using, like, organic milk. We try to use organic milk, not
or
all the
whole
time.
Milk.
Really, you want whole milk. You don't want skim milk. You want whole milk. And like we have a jar sitting up here on top of our stove, and Barb, why don't you explain to people, because when you start that, you pour that milk in, and we got it in a mason jar, and then you have a paper towel, I think, rubber banded over the top, because like you said, it needs to breathe, and then there's a clear portion that will develop at the bottom.
Well, that is, it's clear. I'm trying to think of the name of that. It'll come back to me, but you don't throw that away because that's part of that, of this process, you know. But what you do is after the kefir is done, you had it there sitting 24 hours, you strain that into, a sieve, and you take the kefir grains out and you put it back into the bottle, and then you pour milk in it again. You start the process all over again, and you take the kefir, and you can do whatever you want, either drink it nice and cold after that way, or make smoothies with it, whatever. But it's good. It's a good prebiotic.
Yeah.
It's actually very good. It's better than even yogurt.
Yeah.
And so these things are to help your stomach, and you know, you can go online and go to Amazon. You can order the kefir grains, and same with the SCOBY. You can order that on Amazon or any place like that.
You can order it online. And the thing is, it's kind of like the vacuum cleaner of the gut. So it's going to clean everything out of your gut And it works. And it's not it's not drugs. It's not, we're talking about food here.
Well, the kefir, the kefir is, it, when you drink it, it stays, like, it does something, the good prebiotics stay in your gut, in your stomach, and it helps you. And as the yogurt, the probiotics that's in there, you pass it out more easier with it.
Yeah.
But it stays more of the kefir grains, of the prebiotics stays a little bit more longer in your stomach, and it's awful. Awfully good. That's all I could say.
Especially when you make, your drinks out of it. You're adding strawberries, bananas, blueberries, whatever, and you're putting it in the blender and making that smoothie. And if you told somebody that this was actually made from kefir, you would think, oh, well, you made this with yogurt. No, you made it with kefir. And it's, like I said, it's quite good. And so, I think it's probably, if you're looking at if you're looking at kefir and, say, kombucha, I would say kefir is actually easier to make. And if somebody was going to maybe start with something, kefir might be easier.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's several hours to make the kombucha, because you also can't use any metal with kombucha. It doesn't like metal.
That's right. And you also, you can't stir it with metal spoons. For some reason, it doesn't like that. But anyways, even with even making the kefir the first time you're making it, when you first get it, you may have to just, it may not be fully the way you like it.
Yeah.
So you have
it's
to,
thinner.
It may be thinner, and you may have to just try it again. Again, you don't throw it out, but, you can make another batch of it, and it'll get stronger every time. Now, when you have, when it really grows an awful lot, you say, well, what do I do with these kefir grains? Well, you know what you can do? Well, what I do is, I take them, because you don't need a whole bunch to make a pint or a quart of kefir. I take the grains and I rinse them with nice clean water, and I dry them, with paper towel. Mm-hmm. And then I take powdered milk, and I take a little baggie and I put a couple tablespoons of powdered milk in the baggie, and I put the extra kefir grains in that, and I mix it up together, and then I make sure all the air is out, and then I seal it and I put it in the freezer, and then I wait for somebody that may want some. So this is a good way to pass these things around, because it's all awfully good for you in your stomach.
It's inexpensive, and it's very good for your gut health. And so it's something that we've come across, that my wife kind of stumbled across because of the lockdowns and being bored, and it gave you something to do. With the kombucha, there's a few more steps. And like she was saying, you can't take that SCOBY, which is a living thing, and put it in boiling water. You pour everything out, you mix everything, and then you put that into your jug, and you're making about 3/4 of a gallon, and then you're letting that cool down. That may take 5 or 6 hours so that it's at room temperature, really. Then you can put your SCOBY in, and then you add
your starter
into that, and then you label it so that you know when you made it. Put it somewhere where it's out of the light and kind
of
like not
out of
in direct sunlight. Out of sunlight. And you leave it there and you let it sit there. Like I said, it depends on the time of year, because you're dealing with a living thing. And in the winter, it takes longer. We just did a batch not too long ago, and that took roughly a week. So, in the winter, it took 3 weeks to 4 weeks. So you can see that there's a huge difference. So, but we find it, I found it really fascinating. It's great to be able to eat something that you're making, and you know where it came from, you know who made it. You know that it's organic, you know that it's healthy, you know exactly what happened to that, because it's always been in your possession. So,
well, both of these things you can buy,
buy
in the store if you don't want to.
If you don't want to make it.
Make it, and you can find it in the organic section of the, in the grocery store, but I happen to know, what I'm putting in it and what I'm doing, and I'm not adding, other stuff to it. And so I know what I'm ingesting in. I like it, and it's not that hard to make, and it's not that costly either.
No, not at all. Not costly at all. You're looking at, like, the kombucha, you're making probably 10 gallons for the cost of one when you make it yourself. Mm-hmm. And really the most amount of time that I find that it takes in making that, the process is letting the water cool down after you've brought it to a boil. After that, it goes by real quick because, like you said, you're adding the starter, you're adding the SCOBY, and you're labeling, putting it away, and you're just leaving it. And you check it maybe every couple of days in the summertime to get it to the taste that you want.
Yes, amen.
So,
and you know, we're to take care of our bodies. The Bible says we're to take care of our bodies. And in the NIV, the scripture I like to read is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20 says, "Do you know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies."
Mm-hmm.
And the second scripture I like, and I really love this because I love Psalm 139, verses 13 through 14 says, "For you have created my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well."
Yeah.
So, you know, we have a responsibility to take care of our bodies, you know, so that we can continue to do God's work. And if we're healthy, we can do that. But when we're not feeling well, we don't want to really do very much. So we have to do our part of taking care of ourselves to make sure that, you know, we stay healthy. And these are a couple ways that, you know, are good, you know, for your stomach health, your intestines. And so I'm sure, you know, if you give it a try, you may like it. I know I like to have the kefir in the morning, and I like to have the kombucha in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Because it tastes nice. You know, it's just really nice.
Yeah, the kefir is a good morning.
Yeah, I like it. It's, you know, a nice comfort to me.
It's a comfort food. And, you know, it's interesting because the Bible gets into a lot of things with health and things like that, and being a good steward with your body. It's important. And, you know, for the times that we're living in now, I mean, things like this are really good to make sure that you stay healthy. And
well, with
and
all
it's
the,
important.
Yeah, with all the stress and the things that are going on, you know, stress can wear heavy on your bodies. And same with anxiety and fear and panic and all of those things, you know. So we just need to be settled and, you know, and be at peace.
Yeah.
You know, and to rest in the Lord.
Yeah.
And so we take care of our health so that we can, you know, be productive for the kingdom of God, because that's what God wants us to, you know, to just continue to be healthy and to do his work.
You know, and if you think about it as the church being a sports team, if you're always on the bench injured, you're not able to contribute to what needs to go on in the field. So, hey, there's the music, folks. We will be right back after the commercial break. Hey, this is not Butch. This is Kevin and Barbara Gallagher sitting in for Butch Paul. We'll be right back. Thank you.
This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store with food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, had no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best Strobel foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Nemana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch to get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Call to Decision. I am not Butch. I'm Kevin Gallagher, and I'm up here in Connecticut sitting in for Butch as he's on vacation having a wonderful time. Butch, have a blast, buddy. We're holding down the fort for him, and we've been talking about fermented foods. I'm here with my wife, Barb, and we've been talking about that tonight because I thought it would be a really good thing to talk about. You don't hear it talked about too much, something I didn't know anything about, and because of all the lockdowns with COVID, my wife got curious about it, came across it, decided to start, you know, tinkering around with the stuff. And so we're going to cover a couple of other things with that and, you know, take notes and this and that. It's something that I have found really fascinating. It's good for your gut health, that much we do know. And we're going to go and talk about sauerkraut. Now, we were talking to Todd on the break, and I'll tell you, there's nothing like when you've made your own homemade sauerkraut. If you've bought sauerkraut in the store, yeah, it's good. You can buy the high quality stuff, but not like when you just make your own sauerkraut. It's really not that hard to do. There is one step that's a little difficult because it will wear you out, but we'll get into that. But we let it ferment for like a month. And like I said, this is something where in our day and time where everything is get it done yesterday, fermented foods is not that. It takes a long time. You got to be patient, but the payoff is great. And so I'm going to say and turn over to my wife, Barb, here. And how did you get first interested in making sauerkraut?
Well, years ago, I've made sauerkraut, but I forgot even how to go about it. So I figured, well, there's another thing I'm going to try because of the time frame. You know, I had time, and so I decided that's what we'll do. And so Kevin said, wow, we're going to make sauerkraut? Yes. So I looked up some recipes, and again, I did my research. And so, you know, I took notes. You can, Kevin can tell you that a lot of notes about
copious notes, many pages
of different things that I've made that we just previously talked about. You know, the kefir, the kombucha, and the other things, because that's the only way I could remember, because it's just so much new information. And so I didn't want to mess up on making any of this stuff. So anyways, but with the sauerkraut, you need to have, coarse cabbage. Yeah. And the fresher the better. And
organic
is the best. But then you have to have a job. You can slice this cabbage with a mandolin or whatever, or with a good old fashioned way, just slicing it thin with a regular knife. And so you want to give them really thin pieces. And so what I did was, I got this huge bowl, and after I had the chopped up cabbage, I put it in the bowl. And then I took about a couple tablespoons of, kosher salt. You know, you don't want it too coarse. And then, I also have a sauerkraut pounder, but at that time I didn't. So you can use, a potato masher. You can use a spoon, anything that's whatever you can use to, make sure that you're taking that salt and you're pounding that after you sprinkle it on top of the cabbage, you're pounding that down to extract the liquid from the cabbage. And so, and it does produce quite a bit.
It's surprising, and you don't have to go to the gym after you do that, because you're going to be mashing that down and getting as much of the liquid out.
So you want to be able to have enough, Kevin was saying, the liquid by using a pounder or whatever you use. They make them especially for that as well, to extract the juice from the cabbage. So then what I do is, and I saw a recipe for this, so I take the core and I don't throw it out. You know, I take that and I put that in a blender. I chop it up and I put that in a blender. And then I take an apple. Yes, an apple. And
Organic apple.
Yeah, and I cut it in quarters and I take out the seeds and everything like that, of course. And I cut it in pieces and I add some water to it in the blender. And I blend it together to make a slurry, like, you know. So then when I take after the cabbage and I put it into a gallon size
jug.
And I also, by the way, I save the outer leaves. I'm talking about not the dirty ones or anything like that, or messed up ones or anything, because I take leaves and then they're clean and everything. I put them to the side. And so when I take the cabbage and I put it into the gallon jug, I kind of mash it down to make sure it's, you know, we want to keep everything submerged, and then I pour over the slurry mixture, and I pour that over that, and then I add over that the leaves that
the outer leaves
of the cabbage to cover, the chopped up cabbage, because you want to keep everything submerged, and the only way you can is just after. What I do is I take a jelly jar or something, or you can use these weights too that you can buy for this. I filled the jelly jar with water and I put it in the bottle, in the jug itself. So it kind of keeps everything submerged underwater, because oxygen is not your friend when you're making anything like, cabbage, sauerkraut or anything like that. You don't want air to get in. And then I put a lid on it, you know, and then the aging process starts. And, you want to always check it, you know, daily to see how it's coming along, but you want to be able to make sure that it always stays submerged. And it comes out really nice, too. And the end result is it's tasty, and it's not that hard to make.
Yeah.
You know, so, but the process, like I said, is the chopping of the cabbage that takes, some time, and you use your muscles, let me tell you. And but it's well worth it. And then it's nice. You can use it on, you know, your hot dogs or whatever.
Kielbasa, whatever you like to put sauerkraut on.
Yeah.
And it's very tasty.
Sauerkraut is good for your intestines. If you have trouble going to the bathroom, it helps you that way as well. It just is very good for you. You know, and the thing is, mine doesn't come out really salty. Some people theirs do. But you don't need an awful lot of salt.
Salt does what?
It breaks down. It makes the liquid, and it's salt is a preservative as well.
It breaks down the cabbage, right?
Yeah, and also that added apple that I put in, it has like an extra, it's got some pectin in it. So it's added insurance for the probiotic as well, and it helps, that as well. And it comes out fine. I like it. And this is about second time I made it that way. And you can find these recipes, like I said, anywhere on YouTube, looking up people's that do a lot of cooking and things like that. And that's where I've learned how to do it. And
and the thing is, too, I mean, we've gone grocery shopping. We notice that the shelves are emptier than we've ever seen them. And I mean, right after a lot of the COVID stuff started, I mean, we saw aisles in major chain stores empty. And I'm not just talking about the paper stuff, like toilet paper, paper towels, et cetera. But stuff is just kind of sparse now. And the thing is, if you're able to make this stuff for yourself, do it cheaply, you can maintain some good nutrition. And that's good. And you know where it came from. You made it yourself, and these are the types of things that I think about anyway. And so this way you can keep yourself fed at a low cost and also be able to get a lot of good nutrients. And that's important, for the times that we're living in right now.
And there's other ways that people can make, sauerkraut, and that you can add different things to your sauerkraut, but I like it done that way. I don't put caraway seeds or garlic or anything like that. Some people do. They do different things in their methods, and there's different ways to make sauerkraut.
I think, too, by making it kind of plain like that, you can always go back later and add those seasonings in, and that way you can season it to taste once it's made. But this way you're making it, I guess, kind of bland as a neutral taste, and you can always add those things later, and season it to the way you like it to taste.
And I like it. I like the taste of it because it's fresh, it's homemade, and I think for us, I mean, it goes a long way. One gallon, I mean, it almost fills up the whole thing of 1 gallon. Yeah. It really goes a long way.
It goes a long way.
And the thing is, when you take it out, once it's finished, you take it out. The outer leaves that that you covered it with, and then you take and you put into small jars, whatever, and you refrigerate it, and it'll continue to ferment, and it really is good, and it's still good. It's good the day that you put it in the refrigerator to the day you take it out and use it.
Yeah, and the kombucha, I think, continues to ferment, but at a slower rate once you put it in the refrigerator.
Yeah, everything slows down, I think, in when you refrigerate it, but to me it does.
Now, what I'd like to do with the time that we have left is get into bone broth, because this is something that, for whatever reason, it just didn't click. When you said bone broth, even though I'd seen the things in the store and the cartons, I just didn't make the connection. So how did you get into that?
Well, I'm one, my background, that I like soups. I was brought up with a lot of making homemade soups.
Hungarian soups.
I like making homemade soup, and I would always buy bone broth. And I know it's very good for you because of the collagen that's in it. It's good for your bones. It's good for your joints. And also, the collagen is good for your complexion, your nails, your hair, your body overall, health. So I like that, what it does. So I started doing that, making that in a crock pot. You can also do it over a stove and one of these stock pots. But I started, my first experiment was an experience, I say.
So take us through the process.
So what I did was you can take a roasted chicken carcass that you had that from an other previous meal. You can use that, and or you could take roasted chickens that you bought even from a store, and you just save the carcasses. And what I did, I saved about 3 carcasses because that makes enough for us. And then I also save vegetable scraps. like the ends of carrots and some celery and onions and things like that. And I freeze these things until I get enough. So once I have three carcasses, then I decide, well, I'm going to make bone broth. And so then I take that, and I may add maybe two or three extra sticks of celery, a couple more onions, and maybe a few more carrots.
Yeah.
Cut it up, and then add that to the bones of the chicken.
Now, do you add apple cider vinegar?
And then I add, if I'm doing the crock pot, I'll use a quarter cup of apple cider vinegar. And so I wanted to say that, with that apple cider vinegar does, it extracts all the minerals and the nutrients from inside the bones out, takes it out, and it's good for you. That's what you want. And also the collagen. So then you put enough water over, not too much, because you want to make your bone broth gelatinous.
Gelatinous,
whatever, how you say it. That's what you want. You want to, that's where you're going to get your nutrient from. And so then you let that, if it's in a slow cooker, you bring it to, you put it on high until it just starts to boil. And then you turn it down to low, and you cook that between 8 to 24 hours.
Yeah, 18 to 24 hours.
And then you extract all the bones and all the other vegetables out, because you're only putting the vegetables in there really for the taste.
For the taste.
For the bone broth. And then you can put it through a strainer so that it doesn't have any lumpy stuff in it, and you want to be able to strain that off and put into your bottles or whatever you want.
Store it in glass bottles.
Yeah, and you let it cool and then put it in a refrigerator, or if you have special kind of jars, you can even freeze it.
Yeah, and it's great straight as a drink. You heat that up, and it tastes good. You can make, like, oxtail soup. You can make other kinds of soup with it. And we started out – well, Barb, you started out using chickens, but you can do a beef and also a fish bone broth too, right?
Yeah, you can do make different kinds. But, I started with the chicken bone broth because that's what I had. I had the carcasses from the chicken. And then I tried also – the beef bone broth as well. You know, you would use the bones of the marrow, the shanks, and you can also, and tell you you can use, a lot of people may not like the thought of this, but, and going back for a minute to the chicken bone broth, you can use chicken feet.
Chicken feet, yeah.
Because there's a lot of collagen in the chicken feet, and people may go, ew, you know, because I went, ew, first. I heard that, I'm like, oh, my God. You know.
But it makes it very gelatinous.
Yes, it's gelatinous, and that's what you want, you know. But anyways, with this other, you can use like a bone broth. The beef bone broth, you can use oxtails, and you can use the marrow, bone marrow, bones, whatever. You can just use different things, but then you have to roast some of those things first. You have a different procedure for that.
But the thing that I found absolutely genius about bone broth is that, as I said earlier in the program, if you were listening, folks, is that a lot of these things that you're using to make the bone broth are things that you'd be throwing out anyway. So my wife keeps all this stuff in a Ziploc bag in the freezer. And so, you know, you buy a chicken, you eat it, you take the bones, and people are throwing them out. But what they're not realizing, what I never realized, is that there's still a lot of great nutrition that you can be pulling out of the carcass, out of the bones. And then the scraps that you've made from using your vegetables and things, you hold on to those, because as she was saying, that's going to help provide a great flavor to the broth. And so here are things that you were throwing out to begin with, and now you can extract flavoring, and you can extract some really amazing nutrition from stuff you're going to throw out anyway. Now you're getting a second go around. You're getting even a better value for the money, better bang for the buck, and you're getting some really great nutrition.
Now, another thing is that I bought an Instant Pot.
Yeah.
It was a birthday gift, thanks to my husband and my sister. And I tried making chicken bone broth in the Instant Pot, and within a couple hours it was done. And we and Kevin thought, well, gee, I wonder if it's going to be as good as using the slow cooker or something like
because
that.
Because the slow cooker
and,
went 24
it was
hours.
It came out gelatinous, and it was really good.
It's good. So if you got an Instant Pot, you can make bone broth in about 2 hours.
Yeah, so
2 hours.
And there's many recipes, folks, out there to make this stuff, you know. And also, like I said, I haven't tried this yet because, you know, you can do fish heads. You can use fish heads to make fish bone broth, which has a lot of nutrition in it. And you can buy the fish heads at the supermarket and things like that. I haven't tried that yet because it, you know, I look at the eye of the fish. I'm like, I don't know yet about this yet. But anyway, so. That's me. That's my hang up.
But yeah, you know, the thing is, we started with the chicken. The chicken bone broth when you make it is amazing. And as my wife was saying earlier, you know, she made it in the Instant Pot, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't know how good that's going to come out after 2 hours, because what happens is when we made that, we made it in a standard crock pot. It went like 24 hours. Now, the side effect to that in the house is that it makes the house smell really good. It permeates the air. It smells great. And the thing is, you know, you're taking all that time to extract all those minerals and things out of the bones. And yet I'm thinking, well, how is the Instant Pot in 2 hours? Is it going to taste any good? And I'll tell you what. I told Barb, if you just gave this to me and didn't tell me where it came from, I would have thought it came out of a slow cooker.
And another thing is that with the chicken bone broth, once it cools, you can use to it has the schmaltz on the top, which it's called, that's the fat.
The schmaltz, yeah.
And you can either save that, and some people, like I heard and I read, they use it for, you know, cooking their chicken livers or something like that, and I haven't done that. Of course, I don't need chicken livers myself, but some people do, and you can use that for that. And also the tallow and the beef bone broth, people use it to, you know, in cooking their vegetables and foods and meats with that, you know, that it's almost like a lard kind of thing, you know. Some people use that as well. So, but I like the nutritional value that we get from that, you know. And you can heat that up, have a cup of that bone broth in the morning, you know, with your breakfast. You don't necessarily have it for lunch, but you know, and lunch is nice. A lot of times I have it with our lunch, and I make the homemade bread too.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the homemade bread. We got a few minutes, and I know you really enjoyed making the bread.
Yes, sourdough bread. I like sourdough bread.
And that's also fermented.
And yes, that's very good also for to eat for your health. And so I make that, and I make my own homemade starter, you know, yeast for my bread. I experimented with that, and I've thrown many of those things out, you know, because I messed up. And everything is just that I've been doing is because, you know, what else could I do if I was locked down in the house with three grandchildren? And so I figured, well, you know, I'll teach them how to make bread, teach them how to do this and that, and experiment.
Well, tell us also about the bread you're making in the small pans.
Well, that was another type of bread. That was a bread that was Amish bread. And it's like a sweet taste to it. And that's really, really easy to make and really nice. And I didn't use the homemade starter yeast for that. I used regular yeast for
you
that.
You know, the thing is, too, is that for a while, I mean, we have a bread maker. And those things are wonderful if you have one. And we were getting, in a box, some breads that you could make right out of a box. And the crazy thing is that those breads came out really nice, really good, and even better than we would do from scratch. And you could find them, you know, made organic and everything else. And like I was saying earlier, we found a lot of places. You go into a lot of national chains and stores, you know, grocery stores. We haven't been able to find any of those really good pre-made box recipes.
That's why we went
for a long time.
That's why we
went.
And
so we're like, okay, we need to figure out how to make this homemade, you know, from scratch. And look, my wife is a really good cook. So she has a little bit of a head start on some of this stuff because she can cook good. And so, you know, making the homemade breads and everything, it, like I said, you know where it came from. You made it yourself. You know exactly everything about it. You know all the ingredients. You mix them all yourself. And there's something about eating something that you made from scratch. It's just different than if you bought something made already in the store. You know exactly where it came from.
And I use organic flour. And that's another thing that is really good. You know what you're putting in it, you know, into your bread. And so, and again, it's all to be healthy, to be healthier. And so in all of these things that we mentioned tonight, you can find them in cookbooks. You can find them on YouTube. And they're easy to get, like I said, the kefir grains and the kombucha SCOBY.
Easy.
On Amazon and places like that. You know, just have to check it out. And, you know, it's all because we want to be healthy. And there's going to be times that, you know, we may have to really lean more to these things to learn to be healthy, to maintain being healthy. And that's what we really want for, that's why we're sharing this with you. So maybe it'll create an interest.
And we've been on like two other programs. We're on a station in Canada, Western Canada. And we've done a couple of shows about this already just because we feel it's that important. And if you have any questions, contact at truthbetoldnetwork.org. Again, the word contact at truthbetoldnetwork.org. If you got any ideas, thoughts, recipes, if you want anything you want to, you know, send along, we'd be interested in hearing what you have to say. Again, contact at truthbetoldnetwork.org. And Barb, any final thoughts?
Well, the most important thing, is to, you know, to really be healthy and to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And, that's, you know, because that's what he wants. He wants us to be healthy, to do the kingdom work. And so until we live to be a ripe old age, you know, to fulfill what God has called us to do and to do the kingdom work.
Yeah, very important. And folks, hey, Butch says he's passed along to me that he will be in the office tomorrow. So I just wanted to make sure I remind people about that. So if you want to call him and talk to him in the office tomorrow, he says that he's going to be taking calls. He's been on vacation this week. It's always a joy and a pleasure to sit in for him, and it's a lot of fun. Done it before. I'm sure he'll ask me again. But Butch is great. He's doing well. For Barb Gallagher, I'm Kevin Gallagher. For Butch Paw, thank you for letting us sit in tonight, folks. He'll be back next Monday. You can hear him here on GS Radio or on our network, Truth Be Told Radio Network. God bless you all. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.